The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in Central Alberta.
Good morning. How many of you would like to have a successful, fruitful, abundant, joyful, and restful life? It's great. That's how you start a really good conference on how to get ahead in life. It's actually what I want for you too. So we're got something in common. I want that. I want that for you. But the best news today is that's actually what our Heavenly Father wants for you today too. Isn't that amazing? That's really good news. The way to achieve that kind of life is through a word, and the word is called wisdom. And we're going to look at that word wisdom today together in God's word, because it's in that process of knowing God's heart, his wisdom for living life, that he actually makes all these promises. And so I want you to turn in a Bible of some sort. So whether it's on your phone app or whether you brought your own, or if you want to use the one in front of you, we're going to go to the book of James in a minute, but I first want you to turn into the book of Proverbs. And so if you're looking at a Bible that was in front of you in the pew, it's probably about 510, the page number. It goes to Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to start in chapter 2. And I'm going to just do a little bit of my ADD thing and skip around really fast in this chapter, because I want you to understand that what I just said is actually in God's heart for you. It's not a sales pitch. It's something that is in the heart of God for every one of us. First, I want to start in chapter 1, verse 20, and I'm just going to skip chunks on purpose. And the idea of doing this is not to cover it all, but to whet your appetite, that you would want to today go home and go, what did he skip over? Because that was so good, that what he said, that there's other stuff in there I don't have time to get to. By the way, if you're young, and you get to decide that, I won't tell you today, but if you're younger, you should be immersing yourselves in the book of Proverbs, especially if you're not married yet, if you're in teens or young adults, and you should be all over at least the first 9 chapters of Proverbs today. Chapter 1, verse 20 says, "Wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds among the main street, to those who gather there. How long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will mockers relish in mocking?" Sounds like Facebook. "How long will fools hate knowledge? Come and listen to my counsel. I will share my heart with you and make you wise." This is wisdom speaking personified. It's the voice of wisdom calling out. Chapter 2, verse 2. Tune your ears to wisdom. That's a choice today we get to make. Tune your ears over to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them, understanding and wisdom, as if you would search for silver like hidden treasures. Then, when you search and you look and you tune your ear, what does it say? You will understand what it means to fear the Lord. In other words, you'll understand where God's place is in your life. "For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is fair, and you will find the right way to go." How many of you could use some God's wisdom in your life today? Seriously. I mean, how many would be like, if I could use God's wisdom in my situation right now, I'll take it, right? He says, if you do these things, if you ask, if you tune your ears, if you cry, if you search for it, if you ask, wisdom will enter your heart. Verse 10. "And knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will save you from evil people and from those whose words are twisted." If you jump down to chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will His will in all that you do. And He will show you which path to take. So don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Verse 13, joyful is the person who finds this wisdom, the one who gains this understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire in this life can compare with wisdom. She, wisdom, will offer you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths. Isn't that what we want for our life? Delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is like a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. For by wisdom the Lord founded the earth, and by understanding He created the heavens. I'll jump down one more. Verse 24. So then you will be able to go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly. This is God's desire, that we would enjoy life, that the path of our life, the future paths, the journey of life would be delightful. It would be enjoying. It would be lack of fear. We would have peace. We would have rest. We would feel like we are part of something bigger than ourselves. It says in there that God laid the foundations by wisdom. Wisdom was there in the beginning. And so God created the world by wisdom. And so by God's wisdom, life works. That's really important today. The way that He spoke into the world, He created it in order. The way things work to be successful. And so by submitting ourselves and by understanding the way that He's created the world, we can rest that His ways will bring us down the right path. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You today that You care about each and every one of us. That You know us, actually. You know where we've been, You know our journey, and You actually can see what's coming. Heavenly Father, that's so often where we lack insight. I pray today that You would give us wisdom wherever we're at today. That if truly our heart's desire is to cry out for wisdom today, that we would like to know Your heart in our life. The decisions that we have to make, the path that's ahead, the journey that's coming. If we would seek You today, we pray according to Your promises, Your scripture, that Your wisdom would be known to us. That we would literally hear from You today and know which path to take. Thank You for Your word today and Your spirit that guides us through it. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Well, we're going to go to the book of James. And we're in James chapter 3. And we're starting at verse 13. And so the Bible in front of you, I think it's 978. I can remember numbers, I can't remember names. So if you just number yourself, that would be helpful for me. But if you turn to there, that's where we're going to find ourselves. And we're looking at wisdom. Now, James, it's a very brief content on wisdom. The reason why I go to the Proverbs is James is very, very well read in the Proverbs. He studied Proverbs. He knew the Proverbs inside out. And so James' words come from there. The assumption is the audience that he's speaking to also were the founders of the faith. They were the Jewish people that James was talking to. And so they would have been immersed in the Proverbs as well, as we should be as well. If you back up James chapter 1, he alludes to what he's going to talk about, and he alludes to what we just read in Proverbs in the last couple of chapters. In James chapter 1, he says this, if anyone lacks wisdom, so some of you acknowledge that today. You said, hey, I want wisdom. I acknowledge I need wisdom. I want wisdom. It's simple. Then he would say this, then you should ask. And as we just read, wisdom is actually seeking our attention. It said there, wisdom is crying out for us. Sometimes we get things, I think, mixed up. We actually think that God's wisdom is hidden. And it's something that, you know, is really difficult to find. But I like to read that chapter 2 in Proverbs and chapter 1 in Proverbs, because it talks about God's heart and desire that we would know. That we know His heart. That it's crying aloud. That it's saying, why won't you listen? You should listen. Pay attention. And I think God wants us to know His heart. He wants us to live, why? This fruitful, successful, joyful life. That is God's heart for us. He doesn't want it to be a mystery. And so James says, if you lack it, ask God. Because why? He gives generously. He loves to be a generous giver. He wants to give it generously without finding fault. In other words, this is what we're sometimes afraid of. And I know this is hard. Because when we go to seek God, when I seek God in wisdom, often I have to, part of that process is admitting that where I'm... See, wisdom in the Proverbs, what I love about it, is wisdom's always pictured as a path. That it's a journey. And that there's decisions along this path, but it's a pathway. And pathways always have destinations. And sometimes when I ask God to reveal His wisdom to me, He reveals to me that I'm on a path. And that there's a destination coming. And now I have a choice to make. And sometimes I feel bad about being on the path. But He says, I'm going to tell you. I want to share. But it's not because I want to point out your faults. It's not because I want you to feel guilty. Because I want you to make some course corrections and adjustments. Because where the path is going, I don't want you to go there. My wife was hiking this last week. I should say with some friends without me, because I don't know if this would happen if I was there. But they went down and they made a decision to go to the top of one of these mountains. I don't even remember which one it was. And they went to the bottom of the path. And as they went along the path, they made a few choices. They had to. And they just went with their gut. And they ended up looking at that mountaintop from another mountaintop. Like I said, it probably wouldn't happen if I was there. But... see, paths have destinations. And that's the other part about Proverbs. I wish I could just spend all this time in Proverbs with you. I wish I could point out some things. There are hard things in there. But it talks about the path and the destinations of destruction and harm that comes to people who don't follow God's wisdom. And you can get to the wrong destination by simply making choices that put you on a different path. And maybe you feel like that's your spot right now. Or maybe you feel like you're somewhere on it. Or maybe you got to the top of this path that you're on and you're like, I don't know how I got here. I was supposed to be over there at this point in my life. And I think I'm looking at it from a distance. I know where I wanted to be, but I'm not there. And we all do that. And we all get there. And the question that people say to themselves is, I don't know how I got here. I do. I know how you got there. I know how I get there. One decision at a time. It's a path. And when you take a path and make a decision, you end up going down a trajectory. And so God's desire for us is that we would end up on a pathway where He talks about living a life of enjoyment, fruitfulness, productivity, rest, and peace. All these things that our world wants to get. So let's look at what James says, because he talks about a path of wisdom, and he talks about how you make those decisions on what is wise. And so James chapter 3, starting at verse 13, he says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let's see it. In other words, let them show it. So James, everything we looked at in the book of James is going to be very much like this. So if you're wise, then there should be some external demonstration about wisdom in your life. Let's see what that looks like. Just like he talked about faith, right? If you say you have faith, then I should be able to see evidence of a life built on faith. So if you are living out God's wisdom, I should be able to see evidence of that wisdom practically lived out in your life. That's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is applied, wisdom is applied knowledge. You can all know the right thing. There's so many things we know we should do that we don't do. Or know we shouldn't do, but we do it anyways. Wisdom is taking that knowledge that God says He wants to give you and apply it and turn it into actual life action. So show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Humility comes from wisdom. Let's look at that. And then he turns and he says, but if you find, instead of humility inside of you, you're harboring bitterness, envy, and selfish ambition. So not humility, but self-promotion in your hearts. Don't boast about it or deny the truth. So sometimes he says, we cover up what we know is true by just convincing ourselves that what we wanted to do is what we did. In other words, we get to the top of the other mountain. We said, yeah, that's the mountain I really wanted to go to anyways. We do that a lot, right? Inside, he says, don't fake it. Admit it. So if you find yourself in a spot of life today where you shouldn't be, then the first step is admit it. That's not where I should be. Such wisdom that boasts does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. This is James being pretty blunt and harsh with us again. So he's talking about two different kinds. There's a wisdom of the earth, and there's a wisdom that comes down from heaven. The wisdom that comes from the earth is unspiritual and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder in every evil practice. Next verse is, but the wisdom that comes down from heaven, so he's comparing them to, from heaven is first of all pure, in other words, without fault, it's flawless, it's true, it has integrity, it is then peace-loving, so it's not knowledge or understanding that puffs up in arrogance, where we argue our way or our point of view, it's actually peace-loving. Wisdom from God is considerate to other people. It doesn't boast over people or talk over people. It actually is considerate of other people. It's submissive. It's full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. So peacemakers, people that have God's wisdom, are peacemakers who will sow in peace, will reap a harvest of righteousness. The path of wisdom. Proverbs says that there are ways to us that seem right. Calls us fools often. Says, to a foolish man, his ways seem right. But wise people seek counsel from God. Wise people understand that God created the world with order by wisdom. And wisdom can be found and discovered. And so we want to dig into that a little bit more. I love what Proverbs says in Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, which we read together. This is on your a little card that was in your bulletin. It's on the top. You can use this to, hold your coffee table from moving back and forth. Or you could put it on your fridge. Or you could put it in your Bible. If you want to put it where you're going to see it the most, probably is on your fridge. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all of you do, and He will show you which paths to take. And so that's what we're looking at today. James is saying, look, there's two paths. There's one that actually is an earthly path that will guide and direct you, and there's one that's God's path that will guide and direct you. The questions that we have to ask today is simply this. Are we truly seeking God's wisdom in our life? And so this verse really poses that question for us. Are we depending on the wisdom of this earth or the wisdom of our own understanding? Are we leaning on that for doing life today? Or do we lean on the wisdom of God? And so we need to dig into that a little bit. So I want to, on the back of that kind of paper, you'll see this little graph, and I want to just walk us through this for a couple minutes. As he's comparing these two sides, there's a source of wisdom that we have to make a choice today. And all of Proverbs talks about this, and James talks about this. He says there's two ways that you can go about life. There's two sources of wisdom. There's this earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom would be, it's what I can see. So it's focused on this world. It's focused on this earth. It's focused on my lifetime. It's the here and now part of wisdom. And so if you're trying to make decisions in this life and your focus is on this life, on the here and now, then there's a certain set of principles that you're going to follow to make the best decisions for the here and now. But God's wisdom in Scripture is a wisdom that's beyond that. It's actually an eternal wisdom. It's a perspective that only He can see. And so when you follow Jesus Christ and you try to live out your life, sometimes you make the decision right away to follow Him. What you're going to find very shortly in your journey is following Him's great as long as you agree with Him. But for me, I don't make it very far almost every day where I have to face a choice of the path of wisdom. Am I going to focus on what I can see right now on this earth, on my current life expectations, my wants, what I can see, the temporal, or am I going to listen to God, what He sees about the future? Because I can't see it. I can't understand it. When we talk eternal values, I go blank. I have a hard time grasping with eternity. I can only see what I want today. That's earthly wisdom. What do I want right now? Well, it doesn't take long for me to remember times when my kids were very much like this. In fact, as teenagers, they still go there. And that is, what they want today is often something I don't want for them because I have a better idea for them. So when they're little, they just say, I want that. You know, I want that candy. And you say, well, that's okay, but you can't have it. And they look at you like, you're horrible. You're a horrible parent. Why would you say that? I want it. I say, yeah, but like I have something better for you. And when they're really little, I mean, they like chew on paper, you know. And you're like, you know what? I'll give you something better. I want the paper. And they'll scream and they'll cry and they'll throw themselves on the floor. They'll do all kinds of things so they can eat paper. And God reminds me that I'm like that. Because what I see is only what I see and what I want, and it's right now. And that's how I want to base my decisions on. So every day I go through life and what I think I want is what I want and I want right now. But God is like a loving parent in Scripture, and He says, but what I want for you is better than that. And I know you can't understand it and you can't see it necessarily, but my long-term plan for you is great. Will you trust me in this? And we encounter this with children as we parent and we learn to do this. And the Scripture says, if you know how to do that with your children, if parents, earthly parents, know how to guide their children in right ways, what is best for them, how much more does the Father want to do this for us if He knows the plans that He has for you? So I have to decide, where's the source? Is it what I can visually see, or is it what God actually sees? The next thing is the knowledge of wisdom. In other words, where am I going to find wisdom? That's a great question that you're going to come to a pathway one day, and you're going to come to a place where you have to make a decision. And it might be a relational decision, it might be a financial decision, it might be a sexual decision about your future plans or whatever else going on, it might be about your health, and you're going to come to this place and you're going to say, where am I going to seek this wisdom? Is it going to be about what I understand? Is it going to be about my awareness of myself and what I can comprehend? Or am I going to default? Am I going to submit? Am I going to be humble to God's wisdom and trust what His Word says and what His Spirit is saying to me about obedience? Am I going to follow His guidance, or am I going to trust what I think is right? That is part of following Jesus all the time. You will encounter it all the time. And so the question of pathways, if I'm following Him and God wants my life to be fruitful, successful, joyful, and restful, am I willing to allow Him to speak His wisdom, or will I choose myself? And we hit this all the time. All of society struggles with this. Who would know better than me? I know me. I know myself. I know what I'm like and I know what I want. But do you really? You know, because every stupid decision I've made, I've pretty much talked myself into it. So, you know, I tell myself that I want something or need something so bad, right? It's best for me. It's best for me. But since when do we actually know what is good for us? No one has actually lied to you more than you have. We do it all the time. That's why we end up in incredible amounts of debt. That's why most of us should never have a credit card. That's why, you know, we do all the stupid things we do is because we convinced ourselves that there's nothing wrong with it, that it won't go bad for me. I will be the exception to the rule. It'll work out for me. I know it didn't work out for almost everybody else, but I think it will for me. That's what we do inside. The next piece is the purpose of wisdom. What is the purpose of wisdom? In other words, if I'm seeking God's wisdom, and we all say, I want God's wisdom in my life, the question is going to be, this part of the road is going to be, what is the wisdom for? Is the wisdom to help you build your future? It's a really good question. And it's not really horrible, except you'll notice that on the earthly wisdom side of the equation, there's this amazing amount of fixation on me. Is this about me? Do I live for me? Do I breathe and live for me? Do I exist for me? The scripture says when we come to Christ and we give our life to Christ, we now live in Him, through Him, and for Him. And so that's why the symbol of following Jesus Christ, the first step is baptism, which you'll see next week. It's the symbol that I no longer live for me, but I live for Him. And so we do this, and we'll actually take our faith and we'll mix it and we'll try to come up with faith and earthly wisdom at the same time. And we'll actually say things like, I think that God is really all about me. Now, we don't say those words because we know they're wrong. But we're baffled when He's not. And we'll say, God, I want this. I asked for it. I don't know why You're not giving it to me. So the question is, when you're seeking wisdom, are you trying to build your own kingdom? Is it about your own plans, your own future, your own goals? There's tons of wisdom out there, tons of conferences, tons of great speakers that you can go to, and they'll tell you how to build a great future. They'll tell you to picture it. They'll tell you to clip out pictures of a favorite car or your house or your ideal spouse, pin it up, and they'll tell you how to have wisdom and steps to get there. There's lots of it. It sells out every time they come to town or in the area, those kind of conferences. We sign up all the time. If we got to empower us, we got to envision it. It's all about me. It's what I can dream, what I can accomplish, what I desire. It's all about me. The problem is they might get you there by using wisdom, which is a pathway of one step at a time, delaying instant gratification, which Scripture does teach, to get there. But at the end, if it's all about you, if it's all about me, Scripture is pretty clear, and I actually think you can go outside of Scripture and look around at society, and you'll discover that the end of that path is disappointment. Anybody that's actually got to the end of that pinnacle dream has typically found it unsatisfying. What if our existence is actually not about us? Now, I did tell you at the beginning, listen, I told you at the beginning that God wants you to be successful, content, peaceful, restful, enjoying life. But what if that isn't found with your dream in mind? What if it actually is found by living according to God's purposes first? What if it's not about us? What if when we put Him first and put the kingdom first, that we actually discover that all these things that we desire in the inside are met? Well, what are the benefits of wisdom? A benefit of wisdom in the world or the earthly world is ambition. The benefit is setting goals and accomplishing things. That's what the conferences and the speakers all pitch. It's true. Ambition, drive. What gets you up every day? Are you driven enough? Do you care enough? Are you going to pursue it? Are you going to sacrifice? Are you going to make those sales? You keep driving. You keep going. You will achieve it. You will get it. The benefits of wisdom from earth is you will achieve what you're setting out to achieve. But the problem is the top or the end of that path, the destination of that path, actually does not bring about satisfaction in life. You just have to talk to people who got to the end of that path to find out wisdom exists there, even if they're not followers of Jesus. The benefits of wisdom living God's ways, he says, is peace. It's purpose. It's understanding that you're about something more than you. It's trust. It looks like trusting him in the process. It's a long-term thing, not a short-term satisfaction. What are the results? It's interesting what James says. He says the results of earthly wisdom is envy, jealousy. He calls it demonic and says is the source of every evil practice. In fact, if you have your Bibles open, I'm not supposed to go to James 4 today, but I can't stop you from looking at it. So James 4, I think he continues. So we divide things up in our Bible some days with, you know, spaces and stuff, but it wasn't written that way. James 4, he unpackages a beginning of this earthly wisdom and says, hey, what's causing all these problems in your life? What's causing these fractions? What's causing these relationship breakdowns? Isn't it because, really, that you've put your desires first? Selfish ambition? Isn't that make you envious of other people? Aren't you so fixated on what other people have because that's what you've taught yourself is wise? Like, I want that. I want what they have. And you thought that would drive you to success. And it actually makes you bitter and angry and frustrated and jealous and discontent. And you thought you would enjoy life by staring at things that you don't have. He says, isn't that where it kind of comes from? All this dysfunction in your relationships? You don't rejoice with people because you're scraping and clawing to get what you want. And when you ask God, he says, you're asking for things, but you're asking him only to fulfill what you think you want. It's not about him. And so you don't get it. Because what he wants to provide for you is deep satisfaction that actually brings him glory. It's not about you. And so your asking of God is actually, you're asking him to fulfill earthly wisdom. And it's causing this mess. It's causing a mess. You never get along with people. So it's really interesting. This concept, I deserve more. He calls it demonic. The reason he calls it demonic is because this is the root of actually evil. Where does evil come from? It comes from the lies of the evil one. And the root of his existence began with envy and jealousy. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be worshipped. He didn't want to keep his position and his place. And so he thought God, he deserved more. And so his selfish ambition drove him into rebellion. And James is saying, that is the destination of earthly wisdom. To fixate on more. So when you ask somebody, and you can test these things out. One thing I like speaking about wisdom is proven true in the world today. You can go test it out. I always tell my kids, go look around. Don't believe me necessarily. Even if you're not going to trust God's word on this topic, go look at it. Because wisdom is built into the fabric of creation. And when you break God's wisdom, there's evidence of it. And so you will see it. Go ask somebody who has a lot. Ask them how much more they need to have enough. Ask someone who has very little how much more they need to have enough and be satisfied. The answer is actually always pretty much the same. And you say it, and I say it too. Just a little bit more. It's just a little bit more. None of us is like, oh no, I really want like this. It's like, if I just had a little bit more, I would feel better. I think I'd feel more successful. I would feel like I could enjoy life more. It's just a little more. This is what is the root of the evil one. It doesn't matter our position. The root of it is discontentment with God's wisdom, with our position and our place in life. And all of society fuels it. Every commercial, every ad, every part of it is fueling earthly wisdom. Put yourself first. What do you want? What do you need? Just a little more, just a little better. Look inside. You will find truth. You will know what to do. You will know right. The whole world is pushing this earthly wisdom. So the choice that we have to look at today is, despite my feelings, despite my understanding, and despite my circumstances, will I trust the wisdom of God? That, and it's a constant battle. I wish I could say, you just got to decide that one time. It's always there. And so along this path, we're constantly at a fork in a road. Will I go with what I understand? Will I go with what I dream about, what I hope for? Will I get what I want today because I want it today? Do I deserve more, or will I always default to God's plan and God's purposes in my life? It's the big question for all of us. Ephesians 5 says this, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most out of every opportunity. And so these are the opportunities before us. They're daily in front of us. These opportunities. Make the most of those opportunities. Seeking God's wisdom. Because these days are evil. In other words, these days are earthly. There's so much out there that's telling you that inside you, you have the wisdom to make life work for you. And so this choice is going to be in front of you every day. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. In Christian circles, sometimes we take and we mix and match the earthly wisdom and God's wisdom. We say crazy things. And I'll tell you one of the phrases that I hear most often right before someone makes one of the biggest mistakes of their life. You know what it is? Doesn't God want me to be happy? It sounds a lot like the evil one in the Garden of Eden. Because actually he does. So it's a trick question. The question is, where's that source of joy and happiness going to come from? From what I think I want? Or from what he knows is best. Does God want you to be happy? Yeah. But what does he say on the matter? Because he knows actually what will fulfill the desires of your heart. And when we ask that question, most often we're saying, I think I know what makes me happy. And so why would God hold out on me? It's like a child saying, why is my parent not letting me eat Twinkies every day for breakfast? Doesn't it want me to be happy? I actually bumped into a kid who, his mother said, had an eating disorder, and all he could eat was chicken nuggets. That was his disorder, and she was straight up serious. So it was really hard on me because I was trying not to laugh. But somewhere in that, that kid made the decision that that's what was best. And that's like us. We're saying, doesn't he want this for me? Because I think this is what works for me. But do you? Do you know what's best? The benefits of seeking God's wisdom. We've been looking at Psalm 23. for the last couple of months in that prayer. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. If we would understand the root of that, it doesn't mean that he provides everything we need. It means because he's our shepherd, we have everything we need. And when we start twisting things, and we start saying, I need more than him to be satisfied, earthly wisdom is right there for you to say, yes, try this path. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you know what's best for us. You know us inside out. You create us in your womb. Psalm 139 says you knit us together. You saw us as we were being formed. You know us. You know what we need. You know how to satisfy us. Heavenly Father, help us. There's so many pathways that we've taken that we've learned the hard way, that what we thought we wanted did not bring us what we wanted. Heavenly Father, wherever we are today, there's people here today that are really far down a path where they wish more than anything they could go backwards. I pray today that you will help them on the path of wisdom. I thank you. There's no place that we can be today where you can't lead us by your wisdom through. Thank you for that. And Heavenly Father, there's others here today, and they're just starting down a path, and they don't realize that the path today that they're on is leading to the wrong mountain. It's leading to a place of pain and misery and heartbreak. By your Spirit, would you help them understand? Would you speak truth in love and mercy to them today? I thank you that you've given us your word to know and understand and to apply into wisdom. I pray you lead us to spend time in your word. Heavenly Father, thank you for community. Thank you for people who will speak into us. I pray that we would immerse ourselves and surround ourselves with people who are also seeking your wisdom and not the earth's wisdom. Would you give some of us here today, there's some people here today that have a group of mockers and cynics around them who mock your wisdom as you know they do, who don't believe you're good for them. Would you silence the mockers and the cynics? And would you bring those people a community of people who are merciful, compassionate, sincere, pure in heart, and humble to help speak life and wisdom to them today? May we become, as this community, Heavenly Father, a community that seeks your wisdom and a community that's here for each other. May we not be a community that sits back and watches someone walk over a cliff because we don't think we should speak. May we love better than that. Heavenly Father, would you soften our hearts to hear from others or from you today words that we need to hear? Go with us. In your son's name, Jesus. Amen.